Hi everyone, welcome back to Freedom from Resistance, session number two. And I look forward to checking in with you in today's conversation to see how this whole landscape of resistance and flow is beginning to look to you, whether it's more blurred and complicated or whether it's something that's starting to open up in your perception. I'm just going to do a bit of housekeeping, and I'm keeping my eye on the console because I need to bring people in from the waiting room. So forgive my momentary distractedness as I check the waiting room. I hope that you discovered in the link from the post-session email that there's a page that is being built with the recordings on the video recording, and gradually the audio recordings are being edited so you can download segments, and these are for you to keep. The video, we don't download that one because it's just more of a demand on my website system, but the audios are yours to keep, and so please take advantage of that, you know, so you've got the meditations and the releasing sequences and the Q&A segments for you to continue to learn from and refer back to. So, anything on the housekeeping? Just raise your hand, and if you've got a question about anything practical so far. Joan, yeah.
When I click on download, I just get play. And I haven't found any way that I can actually get it onto my computer without going through.
So when you click on download, does it bring another page up with a sort of play bar on it, if you like? It just like a little thing that's playing.
Right. It brings.
Yeah. Yeah. If you like, what I ask you to do, and it may not be this, but why it should be is that in the top right hand corner of that page, there are little dots that give you options to download or do certain things.
Okay, I'll look for that.
Look for that. If it's not there, get back to me and I'll pass that on to my tech assistant. Yeah. Thanks for asking that. Okay, so let's get going. And I'd like to start with the meditation to begin with, and then go into a reflection, and then have an exchange with you about your experience unfolding, and to deepen the understanding of what it is to live free of resistance. So again, I may be just looking at the console in case we have late arrivals, but just take a moment to turn inward for a more meditative experience when we allow the body to become still, so that the sensations associated with the body are dialed back as the body is allowed to be comfortable. So find a comfortable position, allow the shoulders, whatever favorite body part likes to become tense when the eyes are open. Allow this tension in the body to soften. Always the feedback from the body is information. Information to allow a course correction in the direction of greater relaxation, greater opening. Perhaps becoming aware of breathing happening. Notice sensations that were not being noticed even a moment ago. Allowing the sensations associated with breathing to come to the foreground in awareness. And notice that no one is breathing. No one is breathing. Breathing is happening. If there's a constantly available evidence of life being in flow, a flow that is supportive of well-being, of thriving, it is the experience of breath, a breathing in, a breathing out, nobody doing it. And yet breath is an undeniable happening occurrence. Appreciate what the breath happening is pointing to, the greater flow of life. That is taking care of everything that happens. And even in the breathing, when we really track the breath, at the top of the in-breath, there's a momentary pause. And at the end of the out-breath, there's a momentary pause. So even in the moments of breath appearing not to happen, of breathing appearing to have stopped, this too, this appearance of breathing stopping is flow occurring, is breathing occurring, is integral to breathing occurring. And allow your mind and your being to open to what is being pointed to. That when there is an appearance of something not happening, it is an appearance only. That deeper than the appearance of the breath stopping, there is a flow of breathing happening with nobody doing the breathing. And could you simply be in this moment? Nowhere to go, nothing to do, nothing to achieve, nothing to strive for. Could you simply be conscious, aware of whatever appears to be happening? Whatever sounds are occurring, whatever thoughts are occurring, whatever sensations are occurring, allowing what is occurring to simply appear in awareness. Not trying to do, change, or fix any of what is occurring. And could you allow simply being to be enough? Could you allow this moment, whatever appears to be happening or appears not to be happening, to be enough? Allowing a little deeper breath, if a deeper breath occurs effortlessly. Becoming conscious again of the sensations associated with the body sitting. When you're ready, allowing the eyes to open. Okay, lovely. Thank you. So a brief reflection, and then we'll have a little bit more interaction than last time. We need to kind of dig in with you and explore how to illuminate your experience of resistance or hold back or procrastination or pushing to get things done, and how that might all release and unfold as effortlessness in life. So the idea that, or the metaphor that I introduced last time, was that life is like a river. Life is like a river, and it's always traveling in the direction of the ocean. It's always arriving at the destination. Yeah. And not only is it always traveling in the direction of the destination, no matter whether the river is doing loops and loops and even turning upstream and then looping back down again. So the river itself, the course of the river, the happening of the river happening, may appear to be going in a different direction than the destination. But the river is simply flowing the way it flows, and it's always connected to the destination. And not only is it always always flowing to the destination, it's always connected to that destination. There is no separation between the ocean and the river. It's all made of water. Some parts of the water are more salty than others, but the river and the ocean are all water. There's no separation between any point in the river and the destination. There appears to be a separation. There appears to be, you know, if there's a boat on the river upstream somewhere, there appears to be a distance to go to get to the destination. Yeah. But that's simply an appearance. That's a focus on being separate from the river. I'm in a boat, I'm separate from the water. I'm separate from the water, yeah. But the suggestion here is that we are not separate from the river. We're not so much being carried by it as we are the river itself. The life energy that we are is life energy. The life energy that the form that the body takes is the life energy that is it makes trees, makes rivers. We are the river. We are always, there's no separation between where we are now and the destination, the goal, the thing that we want. There's no separation. There's that separation experience. Oh, I want this and I don't have it. I should be doing this to create what I want. That's all driven by misunderstanding that we're separate from what we want, that we're separate from the destination. So we can get caught up in the appearance of what's happening or not happening. We can get caught up in the appearance of what is happening, and that appearance of what is happening is interpreted by the mind. And the mind will say either what is happening is exactly what the mind thinks should happen, or the mind is interpreting that what is happening is not what the mind thinks should happen. And the mind, when the mind concludes that what is happening is not what should be happening, then the mind labels what is happening as a problem. And the mind then has its habitual coping strategies of what, how to deal with this problem. Sometimes it's push, work harder, try harder to make what the mind thinks should happen, happen. Sometimes the mind's coping strategy, when it concludes that what is happening is a problem, is to give up and say, what's the point? Why even bother? And whether it's pushing, trying harder to get what you want, or giving up, either way, both are forms of resistance. Both generate dissatisfaction. Pushing, trying harder to get what you want, is like trying to push a river. It's not possible to push a river. And giving up, why bother, is like clinging on to the riverbank. I'll just stay where I am, clinging onto the riverbank. So the more we recognize and begin to release resistance, the more we return to the reality and experience that what we are is the river. That is always in flow, no matter how it appears on the surface. And this relationship with what is happening becomes dynamic, becomes fluid, becomes generative. And actions occur out of a natural movement, just like breathing is a natural movement that is not done by somebody. Actions start to arise that are an expression of the flow that we are. And these actions are resistance-free. And at the same time, the actions appear to be doing something in the world, there is the underlying experience that what is happening now is enough, is already the ocean, is already the destination. And a deep resting in what is happening now is enough, is peace, is peace. So last week, you know, we explored in a meditative way the different ways to recognize the presence of resistance, which acts like an invisible handbrake. And there are many layers and subtleties to being conscious of the presence of resistance, be it on a physical, visceral level, on a psychological or emotional level, or an energetic level, or at the level of memory being evoked, of being in resistance and navigating according to memories. And these different layers of resistance sort of interweave, and they can reinforce one another. But any level of resistance leads to suffering of some nature. And I wanted to mention three particular signals that indicate that there is resistance to what is happening, what is simply happening, that is the flow. The first is the feeling, the thought, either a thought that is conscious or a thought that is not conscious, that amplifies as a feeling. So it's a thought-feeling combo of should, got to, ought to. So if you look back on your list of places where you feel stuck that you jotted down last week, all the areas, and just pick a couple of, and see any if any stand out to you or in memory right now, where you feel that you should, or you've got to, or you ought to behave in a certain way, do something or not do something. Or that you should be, ought to be, have got to be further along, more evolved or more progressed. And take a moment. So this is not a writing down moment. If anybody's writing, take a moment, just in this moment, to feel what it feels like to be in the energy of, the attitude of, should, got to, ought to. Feel what that feels like. Can you sense energetically, viscerally, emotionally, what it feels like to be in a should, got to, ought to posture inside of your experience? Great. Anybody like to raise their hand and share what it feels like? Yes, Jan, please unmute yourself. Can you unmute yourself? That's it.
There's a tightening feeling, I think, about here, actually.
Mm-hmm. In the chest area? Yeah. Nice. Yeah. You've got it. Yeah. Lovely kind of signaling going on there. Mm-hmm. Indicating the posture of should, got, toward, to. Just a quick go around. Who else would like to describe their experience of should, got, toward, to? Just unmute yourself.
Did you call on me? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, Leslie, yes.
I was just saying, when I was feeling that ought to, should, what it feels like a resistance to what is happening right then in the present moment, what I'm doing. It's a huge resistance to what is. That's how I experienced it.
Yes. And how did that feedback come through to you? Was it visceral, energetic? Can you
It's energetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely. Cool. Who else? Janice.
Yes, I agree with Leslie that it was a lot of resistance. And I felt like I had reins on, like something's pulling me back and just like, you know, trying to go forward and at the same time being pulled back.
Right, exactly. Trying to go forward at the same time being pulled back. That's the definition of being in resistance. Yes. Yeah, it's beautiful. So these subtle flows of information from your body, mind, system are points of information to tell you what's going on. Yeah. Your mind is saying, I should. I ought to, I got to do this. Yeah. To get to my destination, to get what I want. And yet, the information coming from your direct experience is that you're being held back. The more you should on yourself, the more you're being holding yourself back from the flow, from what you really want to happen. Yeah. So this is such a beautiful meditation, moment of contemplation to have at any point in the day. Even if you're in action and actions are happening seemingly effortlessly, it's just to check in. Is there any resistance in this moment? Is there any should? Look for should. Open to feeling should. Is there any should here? Is there any got to, ought to? And your mind-body system starts to talk back, respond back, reveal in awareness these subtle sensations of contraction, of hold back, of restriction. And you start to, here's resistance. Now that's a moment of being the driver in the car that is not aware of the handbrake being on, the sudden awareness, the handbrake is on. Didn't even know it was on, yeah? And remember, all that's needed to release the resistance, the handbrake, is to see it, is to see the resistance and not make it a problem. The driver does not make the handbrake a problem when the driver recognizes the handbrake is on. The driver goes, duh, no wonder I'm not getting anywhere. Thank goodness I've just seen the handbrake. So the recognition of resistance, the loving ownership, if you like, the recognition, not making it a problem to fix, the loving recognition of resistance happening is the equivalent of setting off the handbrake, opening up the system, dropping the reins. Your body, mind coming into greater alignment with what is actually happening. That is the flow. That what is actually happening always is flow. That any experience of being stuck, held back, not getting anywhere is a mind-made interpretation, is a surface appearance created by the mind. Beautiful. Okay. So big kind of, you know, you've got a long way by just examining as you go through your day. Is there any should, got to, ought to? And when the should, got to, ought to softens and relaxes, then the possibility of actions flowing with greater ease opens up. So one way to explore that is, okay, another meditative moment, not a writing moment. drop into the should again. Feel the should, got to, ought to. Just open up to feeling, I should, got to, ought to do whatever it is that your mind, and it may not be as tangible this time because we've just done a bit of releasing there, but feel that. Now, feel the should, got to, ought to. Let that be, no problem. And now shift into could. I could do this. I could take this action. Feel could. Feel in a could place, a could posture. I could write that paper. I could sit and meditate. I could. And notice how this feels, the posture of could. And really just appreciate this could posture. Feel how this makes itself aware in consciousness for you. And tell me what you feel. Somebody, tell me what you feel. Somebody enter in and describe your, yes, Brian. You want to unmute yourself? Can you unmute yourself, Brian?
Are you there?
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
Well, what does could feel like?
My could actually, I've changed subject. So my subject has changed to about writing. It's about writing a letter to somebody.
Okay.
So with reference to what you've just been saying, the could is, I don't feel could, I feel I can.
Uh-huh. Beautiful.
Into I want to.
Get on with it. Yes, beautiful. So could opens up to can, just right in that moment. It's not I could, but what's that first, that could, how did it differ from should?
I don't have a should.
Oh, you should already change. You're well down the river here. Okay, you're almost at the ocean. Okay. Brilliant. Thanks, Brian. Somebody else, what happened there with the should, could? Yeah, Joan, bring yourself in.
My should kind of felt like something up here that was pressing on me or holding me down, and my could, and so there was a sense of the perceiver being inside and the should being outside, and the could was like an opening that came from inside.
Lovely. And that opening, what does that feel like?
Expansive. It seems to start from the heart and open up.
Lovely. Yeah. Yeah, that's how it seems to me too. The could energy is so much a heart expression. And the should, got to, ought to is full of intellectual concepts and beliefs. Yeah. Lovely. Joan, anybody else like to describe the difference in their experience between could and should? What opened up for you there? Unmute yourself.
Hi.
Hi.
For me, it feels like an an opening from the heart, but like an opening of possibilities. I felt like many paths opening, like many possibilities opening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Lovely. Thank you. So again, that's such a hand, you know, in your back pocket, little, you know, nugget of inquiry anytime in the day, particularly if you're feeling a little bit sluggish or you're just not kind of feeling like you're in a flow experience, is to check for the, is there a could, should, got to, sorry, is there a should, got to, ought to going on? Yeah, just be open and your system will start to deliver the feedback. And to shift into could. In the could posture, it doesn't mean you have to take an action, but there's a shift in how how what is happening is experienced. When what is happening is experienced simultaneously, that there's an openness, an expansiveness, a sense of many possibilities. When there's a what is happening in the embrace of I can and I want to take action. Yeah. On the other side of could, it doesn't mean you will, you've got to do anything. It's the could opens into can, opens into want to all by itself. And that's what we're calling effortless action in life. Yeah. That's where we are, the river. We are the river. I could do this. Move to the direction of what is happening right now is enough. Enough. I don't need to fight what is happening or push what is happening or give up around what is happening. It is enough. And this enoughness has no boundary. Possibilities open up. The realization I can do this, not only can I want to. And we've arrived at the ocean. Beautiful. The other two kind of places to explore that indicate resistance is in the mix, that there's an invisible handbrake on, is when you feel one of two things. One is either you feel apathy, just really fed up. You know, it's kind of a giving up. It's more than giving up. It's a kind of, it's really sluggish. Yeah. It's like becoming really disinterested in possibilities. And it can merge into denial, where the thing that you a few days ago or for weeks or months have felt a desire for, now you tell yourself it's not important. Apathy, denial. And that's equivalent to I'll give up. I'm just gonna cling onto the riverbank, not even make myself available to take action. I'm just gonna play safe. Or I'm just going to deny or forget that I ever wanted this thing. Yeah. And the opposite to that is the feeling of frustration, of even getting angry with yourself or with life. Why can't I do this? Why can't I achieve this? And that this can often generate the trying even harder. But again, this is trying even harder is the equivalent of trying to push a river. And that's not possible. So let's fold this into now a meditative kind of release, and then I'll open up to more interaction with you. So bring to mind, and you can do this with eyes open or eyes closed. Bring to mind something you think you should, ought to, or you've got to do, have, or achieve. And hold in mind any thoughts associated with this should, got to, ought to. And allow whatever feelings arise as you should on yourself. Notice if this shoulding on yourself generates any apathy, a feeling of wanting to give up, a feeling of collapse, a feeling of denial. Simply notice what arises in awareness. Holding this same should, got to, ought to posture in mind. And check to see if any feelings of frustration arise, or anger, or a desire to push, to try harder arises. And whatever feeling arises, whether it's apathy, giving up, denial, or frustration, apathy, or anger, or any other feeling and emotion that arises as you explore here, could you allow, could you open to whatever feelings, sensations, images, and memories arise in this moment? And check to see if there's any thought or feeling that what is happening now in your relationship with this action, this event, check to see if there's any thought or feeling that is saying that how you feel about this action or event is not okay, that you shouldn't be feeling the way you feel, that how you feel is unwelcome. And if there's a feeling that what you're feeling is not okay, could you open to the feeling that's here and the feeling that what is being felt is not okay? Could you allow all feelings to simply be in this moment, to not make any feeling wrong or bad? And check to see, in relation to this thing, event, or situation, that you are shoulding for, striving for, is generating push or a pull feeling inside of you, a tug of war feeling inside of you. And if there's a tug of war feeling, sensation inside of you, in experience, Could you open to it? Could you consciously allow the push-pull experience that is happening to happen? And check to see also if any of this, any of these thoughts, feelings, sensations feel personal to you. That these feeling sensations, that what is happening or what is not happening apparently, has got something to do with you. Affects you, defines you, describes you, limits you. And if there's a feeling that any or all of this feels personal, it's got something to do with you, could you allow the feeling that it's personal to be here? Could you allow this feeling of it's personal to be what is apparently happening? And what if the thoughts, the feelings, sensations, and images, the shoulding, what is happening is all an appearance? An appearance happening to nobody. An appearance arising in awareness. Could you open to the appearance and what is deeper and wider and broader than the appearance of what is happening? Could you let all the feelings, sensations, images, and the appearance of me, that this is personal, could you let all that dissolve? And could you simply be in this moment? Could you allow what is apparently happening or apparently not happening to simply be an appearance? And that this moment, this that is apparently happening or apparently not happening, is enough, is flow, is whole, is complete. When you're ready, gently allowing your eyes to open. Okay, lovely. So, how was that? Anybody like to give some feedback and share what was revealed, or a question you have about the exploration you just had there? Go ahead and unmute yourself. Hi, Joan.
Hi. So when you spoke of, I picked an issue that's kind of discrete, and in general, my things tend to interlace with each other. But when you mentioned the push and the pull, I had a clear sense. I mean, I felt the push. I felt both the frustration and the giving up on it kind of thing. I was dealing with tech, you know, relationship to tech issues. And what I got really clearly in feeling that push-pull was its timing. You know, that what I'm experiencing as resistance is just anticipating something that's further down the river and isn't really a problem because it's not now, it's something for later.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, it's lovely. See, the flow is where we know what we need to know when we need to know it. The mind goes, I want to achieve this yesterday. Okay. And in the noise of that, where the belief that I'm a person that is in control of what happens, the noise of that obscures knowledge, wisdom. Oh no, it's not time for this yet, or this piece of it. The flow opens up when we recognize the presence of resistance. And thus we're looking at, there are many subtle variations of resistance. Joan's realization of the push-pull, visceral sensation, and not making that a problem, trying to get rid of it, but simply seeing it, oh, it's a handbrake. And in the recognition of what it actually is, resistance dissolves and then pops up an insight that is really helpful. The whole system relaxes out of a contraction and a push. Oh no, it's just not time for that yet. That's going to come. Oh, back in the flow. Who else? Either raise your hand or unmute yourself. Margot.
What I noticed is that your meditations,
it seems that I fall asleep or that I'm just kind of like out. I try to listen to your meditations, but I've never listened to the end. And I'm like, and then I fall, feel myself like, oh, I'm off again.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this in. I'm sure over the years, this comes up a lot. So I want to reassure you, Margot, that this is a lovely example, because already the mind had got some sort of idea about listening to Fiona's meditation. I should be able to listen all the way through. And yet what happened was an experience of falling out of the intellectual kind of conceptual relationship with the words. Yes. And then the mind went, well, that's not doing it. I didn't do it. I didn't get to the end of the meditation. So can you see how the mind is never happy with what is actually happening? So I encourage you that, in fact, what the mind was saying was not happening, I'm not listening to Fiona's meditation, yeah, was actually happening. Just not in the way your mind expected it or made a should out of. It should look like and feel like this. The word meditation points to entering into a meditative experience, a relationship with what is actually happening, as opposed to being in a relationship with what is happening from the point of view of a conditioned mind. And what we are here for is to open up and to realize what is actually happening, not from the point of view of a conditioned mind that shoulds and shouldn'ts on itself, but from a direct relationship that is not a conceptual occurrence. So Margot, for now, for the time being, I encourage you to listen to the meditations and listen in the way that happens. If apparent falling off the radar or falling apparently asleep happens, let that happen, okay? It is a way that your mind-body system is, that's the best way your mind-body system is metabolizing and putting together the exploration and inquiry here in a way that will work for you. If you feel that you really do go into a sleep state, because my experience was that coming alert happened when the meditation ended.
Yeah, it was not with this. I just noticed little moments like yeah. that. I was off, and then I Good. Heard you again. Good. So, but with the other ones, I listened.
Good. Yeah, I'm kind of expanding my response to uncover more than a few bases here.
Yeah.
So just going in and out like that is really lovely. How your system was just calibrating according to what works for you in that particular moment of exploration, because the tuning out is not tuning out, it's tuning in at a deeper, more meditative level, if you like, for the understanding to register within your mind-body system. So trust your own being knows how to remain in the flow. Yeah. It's a beautiful intelligence at work there. It might leave you a bit. Oh, what did we just do there? You know, because it's not recorded conceptually in the way that the so-called, you know, the more kind of aware exploration is. But allow this to be your flow experience, becoming more tangible to you. Okay. Anything else, Margot?
Yeah, and I also noticed that after the meditation that the mind was so quiet, it kind of like no need to want to speak.
Yes.
And then at one more moment it could.
Yes, beautiful. Lovely that you honored that. Yes, yes. And just stayed in the flow of that, not making that quiet mind, not making it perform, not pushing on it, you know? That's really respecting it, and also not hiding there. But when the shift came for the mind to be more engaged and for the curiosity to be more engaged with an interaction, that was allowed too. Yeah. Okay. Lovely. Who else? How are you getting on with this, with the meditation exploration? How are you getting on with your should, got to's, ought to's? Any shifts during the past week, or something getting even more, you know, challenging or stuck?
Yeah, there was a shift during that last bit of conversation for me. And it revolves around all the things that I say that I should do a lot of things, but there's some things that kind of feel like they compete against each other. And there's always like, well, if I do that, I can't. And it's kind of, it creates a lot of stress. And then I don't get anything done, or I don't feel satisfied with whatever is that happens, you know, in these two areas.
Beautiful. Deborah, so really fantastic here. Okay. So you're talking about seeing more clearly, being aware. When just the amount of shoulds that happen, yeah, that are going on, and not only that, you're seeing how many shoulds compete with each other. So it's like double should.
Yeah.
So remember, the beauty of this is, and where there is already flow here, the arriving at the ocean is here now, is that the recognition of the handbrake, the should, is the handbrake being recognized as being on. Oh, the handbrake is on. And in that moment of recognition of what is actually happening, oh, whatever is happening right now is being interpreted as not getting anywhere. Yeah. But actually, it's because this is habit, it's resistance in the mix, which is creating the appearance of not getting anywhere. It's simply an appearance. So in the moment of recognition that the handbrake is there, that the should is there, it's equivalent to the handbrake being set off. Now, many of these shoulds, got tos, ought tos have got legs to them. You know, we've grown up since childhood with some of the shoulds, or with a typical posture of shoulding on ourselves, because we were raised under that kind of culture. Try harder, try harder. Yeah. No gain without pain, this kind of messaging. Yeah. So there are layers and layers and layers in the unconscious that reinforce this mind relationship with action. That it's all a should event, push event, got to. Yeah. And as you say, it's recognizing that it's stressful. Brilliant. It's a real intervention going on there when there's a conscious recognition that the relationship you have with action is stressful. Again, that stress is indicating there's resistance in the mix. That's what creates the wear and tear. The handbrake being on and driving with the handbrake on creates the wear and tear, the stress, the extra fuel drain and so on, and makes the destination harder to reach, if at all. Lovely. So here you start to respect the stress for what it is. Information. Information that there's a handbrake on. The stress is not proof that you're not getting anywhere and you're failing and you've got to try harder. And the stress is not inevitably going to lead to wear and tear and giving up. When we take the stress, receive it, relate to it for what it is, a point of information. Oh, resistance. And let that recognition moment be what it is, the equivalent of setting the handbrake off. How's that landing with you, Deborah?
It feels good to just not. But whenever I do something, it doesn't mean that something else isn't happening. It just means that this is where my focus is right now. It's a relief.
Beautiful. Again, the relief feedback from your system. Yes, the experience of flow is one of greater relief. Yeah. Of ease. There's still the thing, whether it's paying the bills needs to be paid, or the essay needs to be written, or the lawn needs to be mowed. You know, these things are still there. But sometimes, you know, the whole thing rearranges. Oh, it's not time to mow the lawn yet. Or, oh, I've checked my calendar and I don't need to do that tax return until 2 weeks' time. Yeah. Or you comes up with, oh, I think this year I'm going to have somebody else do my tax return. I've always wanted to do that, but I've always thought I've got to do it myself. Got to do it myself, yeah? Or up comes, or the flow can appear as somebody knocks on your door and says, I'm doing tax returns for free this year. Do you have what I can, you know, do? The flow can appear, can be other people or situations entering in to your life experience that just takes the whole task off your plate. This is the all sorts of possibilities open up when resistance falls away. Lovely, Deborah.
And my dog got up off of a sheepskin here in this studio room, and she's up here, up kind of on my leg, kind of like looking for some love. So she recognized there was a shift of energy.
Oh yeah.
She's wagging her tail. And
there you go. Yeah. I want some of that, she says. I'm in for that. Okay. Thanks, Deborah. Meg, I think you had your hand up.
I'm resisting even talking about where I am. I'm in real resistance right now. I'm very much aware of what we've talked about. I'm aware of the handbrake. I'm understanding the flow, the river, clinging to the side. I'm just overwhelmed with things that I have to get done and my distraction and pessimism about getting them all done is just overwhelming me right now. And it's hard for me to focus on all the deadlines I have. And just to tell you briefly, my husband and I were traveling for quite some time, and now we're building a home and finding a rental, doing my mother's taxes, and just house sitting for a sister, and it's just a lot of chaos, and I'm finding it difficult to find that peace.
Yes, and check to see first of all if the feeling of overwhelm, if from the point of view of the mind. Takes issue with this feeling of overwhelm.
Yeah, very much that I shouldn't be overwhelmed by it all.
So your mind is shouldn'ting on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't feel this way. So what is happening or appearing to be happening is that there's a feeling of overwhelm, and the mind is taking issue. Mm-hmm. So just for now, could you allow this feeling of overwhelm to be here?
Well, it's here.
Exactly. It is. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So really the truthful relationship is to allow what is actually happening to happen. Anything else is resistance to what is actually happening. So could you allow overwhelm to be here?
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful. Can you feel the freeing up even there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Register, acknowledge that in your system is feeding back. The handbrake is set off right there even.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, sometimes we're getting a real jam, okay? So I'm going to lead you through, Meg, a release. And everyone else, I invite you to pick one of your, top picks of where you're feeling a real jam with something that feels really stuck, okay? And if you don't have anything that's really stuck, follow along, and you might discover something that you weren't aware of before. So Meg, all this stuff that, needs to be gotten done and it's not getting done, okay? So could you feel in resistance to doing all of this stuff that is not obvious about how you can achieve it all? Could you resist doing all of this stuff you've got to do?
Oh, I'm doing that very well, yes.
Yes. So could you give yourself permission to resist doing what needs to be done?
Yes.
And could you also resist... check and see if there's a feeling of resisting the fact that these things haven't been done yet. Is there some resistance to the fact that these things haven't been done yet?
Mm-hmm.
So could you resist that these things haven't been done?
Trying to understand that last question. Can I resist what hasn't been done?
Yes. Yeah,
I am resisting what hasn't been done. Yes.
Yes. So think this is just to expand this way we're approaching the resistance release here. When there's a real jam happening, say the lawn is getting overgrown. All right. And so there's a thought and a feeling, I should mow the lawn. I've got to mow the lawn. Okay, but that relationship is actually resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And the real thing, I don't want to mow the lawn. No, so the lawn doesn't get mowed.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, it's grown some more. So then the thought is, the lawn isn't mowed. I hate that the lawn isn't mowed. So there's resistance to mowing the lawn. And there's resistance to the lawn not being mowed yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's resistance from both ends. It's a resistance sandwich. The lawn is simply the lawn happening, and resistance is how the mind is relating to the lawn on both sides of the lawn simply doing its thing. It's a resistance sandwich. It's a real jam going on.
Yeah.
Now let's take away the resistance, and then you start to feel the relaxation, and then the resistance, there's two handbrakes being set off there. So could you resist doing all these things that need to be done?
Yes.
And could you also resist the not doing, the fact that these things are not being done yet?
Yes.
Beautiful. Could you again, could you allow yourself to resist doing all these things that need to be done apparently?
Mm-hmm.
And could you also give yourself permission to resist the appearance that all these things haven't been done yet?
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Again, could you give yourself permission to resist doing what appears that it needs to be done?
Yes.
And could you also resist the appearance that these things have not been achieved yet?
Yes.
And could you open to the possibility of doing what needs to be done? We're not saying do what needs to be done. We're saying, could you be open to the possibility of doing what needs to be done?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And could you also be open to the appearance that things have not yet been done?
Yes.
Beautiful. And again, could you be open to the possibility of things being done?
Yes.
And could you be open to the possibility of things not yet being done or achieved?
Yes.
Once more, could you be open to the possibility of doing what needs to be done, even not knowing when or how these things will be done?
Yes.
And could you also be open to the possibility? Could you open to the possibility of things not being done or appearing to be done in any timely fashion? Could you simply be open to the appearance of things not yet being done?
Yes.
And whatever is here right now, could you simply allow these feelings, these thoughts to be here?
I can.
Beautiful. Tell me your experience there and here.
The tension that I've had in my body has started to recede. Not entirely, but it has. Just giving my permission to myself to just allow what is has given me some. My breath is coming back.
Lovely.
I don't feel as stuck.
Yes. Yeah. Allowing what is to simply be. Yeah. And just check to see, as you hold in mind the what's here in the river, all these happenings and possibilities,
mm-hmm.
What's your first thought or feeling right now?
Interestingly, it's gratitude that I realize that is what life is being in that flow of life in that river. You know, that's easy to forget, but I'm grateful that I remember that.
Beautiful. So in this moment, could you open to being grateful for the appearance of chaos and things not yet being done?
Yes.
And could you let that simply be an appearance of things being not yet achieved?
Yes.
Could you let what is be enough?
Yes.
And we're not saying to not get into action, but we're saying that could you let this moment and the appearance of this moment be enough?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lovely. Thanks, Meg.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I really recommend that resistance sandwich release, and to go over that too, to download that audio, you know, for your, you know, a phone or whatever it might be, because that's also invisible, that we think we release one handbrake, but there's sometimes a more invisible handbrake in the opposite direction. Yeah, it's like, so it keeps us really stuck. So anybody else with a question, comment, something you'd like to share? How's your to-do list, Jan? Yes.
Seems a bit fraudulent because I actually experienced something yesterday. I've not had a chance to listen to the materials for today until today. Not properly, anyway. I think I had some experiences like Meg and had not got through. Anyway, yesterday, my day started very slowly. But suddenly, I needed to find some elastic. And it wasn't with my usual sewing things. And in my head, I suddenly remembered that I'd put it somewhere in a drawer somewhere, you know, quite apart from where elastic should be stored, could be stored. And anyway, so I went to the drawer and there was the elastic. But the whole procedure that was then started was quite incredible because I was turning out drawers that I felt had needed turning out for ages, years maybe, and I was enjoying it. it just felt so liberating. And actually, that wasn't the first example. If I think about it, several examples had been cropping up over the last few weeks. And, you know, there was just no thought there. I wasn't struggling again. I wasn't, you know, questioning myself. I wasn't even having to think, can I live with this? And seeing the tension between two things. It was just the obvious thing to be doing. And it was quite incredible. And I really, and then, as is my wont, though, I was doing things on all levels at once. So I had chaos in several rooms. And my house is tiny, so I can't really sort of hide things away. Anyway, so I'd got papers here and there and other things here and there. And there was a knock at the door during the afternoon. I wasn't expecting anybody. And it was a neighbour, a German neighbour who comes and goes. And it sort of greeted her saying, oh my gosh, almost, I can't let you in. Anyway, she came and stood on the doorstep and it was so lovely to hear her say, but it's always, well, we both agreed on the German word, gemütlich, that sort of cozy, you know, I don't see chaos. I see that it's cozy. I see that it's welcoming. And so, yeah, so all the shoulds and must-dos and so on, other people don't see those. It's all self-inflicted.
So lovely, well, lovely. Yes, 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 I love it. So the search for a piece of elastic, where the mind was telling Jan where it should be, the mind opened up and just, oh no, the elastic is somewhere else. All right. And there wasn't an arguing with that fresh thought. There was a movement towards the drawer where the elastic should not have been. And the elastic was there. So this is, then what happened with that drawer being opened, the elastic being retrieved, pursued an entire day's worth of emptying out drawers that the mind had had on the to-do list for decades or years. And it was completely unplanned and unexpected, but it was all liberating and fun. So if you'd have said to Jan the day before, oh, tomorrow you're going to empty out 15 drawers that you haven't touched in years and you're going to enjoy it, Jan would say, you must be crazy, I'm not going to enjoy that. That's not going to happen, okay? So when we start to release resistance, and clearly, you know, by the time I roll a program out, you know, people are ready for it. You're already ready because you're already getting some of these insights before the course actually started. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're just kind of, you know, giving you a bit of an encouragement. This is genuine, Jan. You can go with what's happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. When resistance releases, and what you said beautifully in the day of just all these drawers being emptied out, it was just effortless. I didn't have to put any effort in. No, there's the experience there that I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
There's not a me doing the action.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's the biggest resistance of all.
Mm. Mm.
And so when the handbrake releases, the belief that I'm doing it releases. And in place of the me that believes I've got to do it, should got to do it, and ultimately it has to be like this, there comes this freedom of the flow that is not personal.
Yeah, it really felt like a flow. Yeah.
A flow of life, moving the body, moving the mind, moving the body in the direction, even though it went all over the floor and papers are over there and this was over there. It's just the river turning left and right, and then, but always connected to the ocean. And as if to really bring it home to Jan, a neighbour who wasn't in the diary, wasn't in the calendar to arrive for tea, knocked at the door. And even though the mind put up some resistance, oh, I don't need a visitor right now, the flow was to open the door. And this neighbour who is not always in town, yeah, happens to be there on this day, just completely helped the mind collapse out of its, this is chaos, into, no, it's cozy, it's welcoming. This is life speaking to us, okay? Thank you for sharing that. It's very much in tune with where we're headed. Meg, that's coming to Meg, but it rolls us into the next session, Jan, so thanks for letting us have a segue. Yeah, okay. Meg.
I can just say this very quickly. I appreciate what Jan said because it made me remember that last Monday when we had our meeting, the main thing I thought about was I'm resisting to calling my mother, my 92-year-old mother. And it's been going on for a very long time. And that afternoon, this has never, ever happened before. My sister called on video. Usually we talk, but on the phone. And my mother was there. And so we had a lovely talk. And I never could have scheduled something like that. So.
Exactly. Yes, yes. When resistance falls away, of the many possibilities open up, one of the major possibilities is that we don't have to do it at all. It happens regardless. Life takes care of it. Life lifts off the to-do list items and things that we've been should have gone ourselves for days and weeks. Yes. Lovely. Let's unmute and say goodbye. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, everybody. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you, Meg. Haven't seen you in a while.
And nice to see you.
Thanks, Fiona.
Yeah, see you next week. Yeah, lots of love. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.